with us to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read one verse there, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And Lord willing, we'll try to share with you tonight. We're going to really continue our thoughts on preaching and teaching on biblical doctrines. And last week, we really dealt with the two ordinances of the church. And probably normally they wouldn't have been necessarily the first ones that we dealt with, but because we had the Lord's Supper coming up, because we have another baptism coming up, I really felt like it was important for us to have a good understanding of those things. But tonight, we're going to actually really get more into the introduction of our study on why we want to know, why we want to understand biblical doctrine. So if you found your place there, 1 Peter chapter 3, if you would stand for just a moment, as we 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Dana probably has it better than I do. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. If you found your place, go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Let me read that again, church, just for emphasis' sake. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Lord, we love you again. Thank you for your goodness and grace. And Father, we do ask for your help tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd minimize distractions. Lord, give us wisdom from the Scriptures tonight. Lord, the Scripture says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And Father, we do ask for that tonight. We pray for your blessing upon it. Help us to learn tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. We're looking at tonight why we want to study biblical doctrines and why it's important to know that. And understand in short definition, when we're talking about doctrine, we're talking about teaching, we're talking about biblical truths. The doctrines of the Bible are God's teachings or lessons for us. And so there's different subjects that we're going to talk about, different doctrines that we will talk about as we continue on our study through here. But we really wanted to just spend some time tonight and help us to understand the importance of that. Now, if you look at our text, really the key verse for tonight, you notice that it says to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, one thing that I want to tell you is that, of course, as a person comes to know Christ, they're not going to understand everything about biblical doctrines, right? And so that is part of our goal, that is part of our mission as a church, as Christ said, and we have referenced several times, teaching them to observe all things. So our desire is to help you to know, and I said it, I believe, last week, and I'll say it again tonight. We never want to get to the place to say, why do you believe that? Because my church says so, or because the pastor says so. No, it's because the Bible says so. And so that's where we need to be, church. That's how we know. I give you my opinion and my thoughts. I could be wrong. If we're looking at the Word of God, the Word of God is not wrong. And so it's important to establish that. It's important to know why we want to study these biblical doctrines. Now, as we're going along here, it mentioned again in that text to be ready. I believe that we should be ready. I believe that as we grow as a Christian, as we start to learn, we should prepare ourselves and we should want to know more. And sometimes people say, well, you know, for example, I don't know how to witness to somebody because I don't understand enough about the Bible. And that may be true. And I get that at first. But friends, there probably is something missing. If after some time we've been in church for a while, we've been in church, you know, 5 years, 10 years, and we still don't know how to take the Bible and show somebody how they can know, right, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Now, I say that tonight, no intention to pick on everybody, but really it's more of a challenge and encouragement to you. So I'm just using that as an example. And so ask yourself that question, first of all. You know, how long have I been in church, number one? Second of all, do I know how to take the Bible and show somebody really what the Bible says and essentially the doctrine of salvation, how somebody comes to know Christ? Could I do that? Now, if you've just recently been in church, I understand that. I get that. My tip to you is to take a gospel tract and just follow along. Use that as your outline. But if the answer is, Pastor, I've been in church for a while and I still can't do that, then there's probably something missing. And oftentimes we think, well, you know, that's what the pastor does. That's his job. And for the record, it is my job to tell people about Jesus. Amen. It is my job and my responsibility to give the gospel. But it's not just my job. Right? It's your job too. And we have plenty of scripture that shows. Now again, I'm just using that as an example. We should know. We should be ready to give an answer. Somebody comes to us and say, hey, you know, I've noticed that you seem to be very positive about things. And you seem to have a good perspective about things. You seem to have a strong faith. Why is that? Hey, friend, I'd be happy to tell you. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. Right? Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. So we should be ready. So with that being said, we're first of all, number one tonight, looking at, you know, what talking about doctrine. We're talking about its purpose and where it comes from. Now, first of all, understand just a few things as we get into this tonight. Understand that God is the author of the Bible, right? He inspired. Now, maybe he used men to pin down the words, but understand that God is the author of the Bible. If you would, look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 14 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's look at a couple of references there, and then we will further elaborate on that thought. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verses 14 through 17. But continue now in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Notice this, church. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. And is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So here the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Yes, the Bible says that he used holy men of God who were moved and inspired by the Holy Ghost, but God is the author of the Word of God. Now, as we know, just by studying the Bible was written, broken down into two parts. We know it as the Old Testament and the New Testament. Of course, 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, written with about 40 different authors over the period about 1,500 years, and yet it's still talking about the same person, right? I love that, that's only something that can be inspired of God. You know, you start to get somebody, you have some kids that maybe get into trouble, and you go back and you say, what happened? And it's interesting sometimes how many different versions of that same event can be told by two or three different children. But here God used 40 different authors, right? In three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, in 1,500 years, and one theme in the Word of God. One subject, one main subject in the Bible, and that is something that only God can accomplish. Do you realize that still today the Bible is the number one selling book? Which is fascinating to me because it's probably the most mocked book, probably maybe even the most hated book, the most scorned book, however you want to, but yet it somehow still seems to manage to be, you know, they always talk about all these bestsellers. Here's the bestseller right here. Amen. It also happens to be the best written. It also happens to be the most authentic, but there's no errors in it. It's without error. It's the holy preserved Word of God. So, it's important to know that the Bible, getting back to what we're trying to say, and part of the purpose and reason, is that we know that the Bible is the sole authority for faith and practice. What we believe comes from the Bible. What we believe comes from the Word of God. What we read was inspired by God. That word, inspiration, means God breathed. So, when we're talking about this, it's important to know God is the author of the Bible, and God is the subject of the Bible. Amen. God is the subject of the Bible. So here, as we read this next text in Timothy, Paul encouraged young Timothy, first of all, to continue in this. This is what you've been taught, and from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise in salvation. Just continue in this. Sometimes we talk to people and we try to help them and try to counsel and encourage them. But here's some good counsel here. He said, just continue. Continue in things that thou hast learned. Just continue doing what you've been taught out of the Bible. Continue doing what you've been taught out of the Word of God. That's pretty good advice for practical living. But we're talking about, again, its purpose, where it comes from, what we know about the Bible. God is the author of the Bible. God is the subject of the Bible. And I do believe that it's important to the Lord that we know the Bible. Now, the Apostle Paul, if you go look in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, Apostle Paul mentioned this in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I like that Paul said, that I may know him. So first of all, we know who the author of the Bible is. We know that God wants us to know that, and we'll talk more about that. God wants us to know biblical doctrines, and we'll talk more about that in a second. But I also believe that it's a personal relationship with the Lord. Paul said that I may know him. Now, any relationship that you have, really you can describe it based on your knowledge of them. For example, if you're a married man or woman, you probably know things about your spouse that nobody else knows. Is that true? Anybody agree with me tonight? You know things about your spouse. Why? Because it's a very personal relationship. And in fact, if you rewind, when you were in the dating phase, you did your best to learn more about them. Some of you men might have tried to figure out what your sweetie's favorite treats were, right? Did you ever do that? Or am I the only one who did that, right? You figured out what she likes. What's her favorite chocolate? What's her favorite place to go to eat? Now, sometimes that can be a question, where you want to go to eat. And, some of you fellas have been there, and I don't know, and whatever sounds good. And then I start naming things off, and no, that's not where I want to go. So let's start the other way, right? Tell me what you don't want to eat, and then we'll go from there. But my point is, you get to know them, don't you? If you want a more personal, intimate relationship with someone, even if it's not a spouse, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a friend, you get to know things about them. That's part of the purpose for us learning the Word of God. That's part of the purpose for us learning doctrine. That's part of the purpose for us to grow our relationship with the Lord, is that it becomes a more personal and intimate relationship with the Lord. So that's another reason why it's important. We don't just want to know who the author is. We don't want to just know, things about it, things that God wants us to know, that He wants us to know, but also personal. And friend, as long as we don't make it personal, you're not really going to get a lot of help out of it. If we just stand here and just go through verse by verse and precept by precept, and it's not personal to you, you're not going to get much out of it. It has to be a personal relationship that you have with the Lord. You have to have a desire. You have to have a passion for learning more about the things of God. And I believe Apostle Paul gave that example. He said that I may know him. And then he mentioned a few other things after that. So again, when we're talking about Bible doctrines and the purposes and the reasons, we also want to mention that it's a personal relationship with the Lord. The third thing I want to mention tonight is that God wants us to study the Bible. God wants us to study the Bible. Would you go back with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. The Bible says here, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's a tremendous passage of Scripture, church. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Friend, study, I'm going to tell you right now, is going to take some effort. Study is going to take some work. And sometimes people say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I can do that. Let me give you an example where I think that you can. Have you ever known a mother that's come up with a sick child? And they get a condition that maybe they have never heard of. And I'm going to tell you right now, that mother is going to research everything about that condition that she can possibly learn. And probably you fathers too, right? Maybe in a different way or a different approach, but you have a loved one that gets sick. Even it doesn't even have to be a child. It could be a parent, somebody that you love. Let them develop a condition that you're not familiar with, and I promise you, by the end of it, you're going to think that you know more about the doctor, right? You can do some research. Back in the day, of course, you would get out the medical books. Today, what do? You get on the computer and you go to Google, right? Because Google knows everything, doesn't it? I don't need Google. I'm married to my wife. I just ask her, right? But I promise you, moms and dads, your child gets sick with something, you're going to research it. You're going to study. You're going to put in quite a bit of effort on that. Now imagine if we had that same desire concerning the study of the Word of God. Because people tell me all the time, well, I can't study or I can't. Friend, you can do as much as you want to, right? You can learn as much as you want to. Is it going to take some work? I believe so. Is it going to take some effort? I believe so. You know, when somebody stands to prepare to teach or stands to prepare to give a lesson, friend, that's a lot of work. When Brother Dana gets these lessons together, you do understand that that's a lot of time and labor in the Word to prepare those things. There's time and labor to prepare. You know, generally speaking, if it's really the way, best case scenario, if we come and we share a 30 to 45 minute message, you know, there's probably been a minimum of 2 to 4 hours of thought and preparation. I would rather have more. I work a full-time job. I don't always get as much as I want to. But there's been triple or quadruple time preparation just to stand and give you 30 to 45 minutes, right? Study takes work. Study takes effort. Now, let me also say something about study, and this might make people uncomfortable, right? Right here at Florence Baptist Church, get ready to be a little bit uncomfortable. When we're talking about study, the other purpose is that we are getting in the Bible, trying to find the answers, trying to find what we need out of the Word of God. It's not just to think about how many questions that we can ask on Q&A night. Okay? Because sometimes I wonder if we're just trying to think of questions to ask, just to ask, or are they actually a result of our study? They should be a result of our study when we have already labored in the Word trying to find the answer for ourselves. Say, well, that isn't that what you're... No, friend, I'm trying to make you more dependent on the Word of God. I have no problem helping somebody as best as I can out of the Bible, but I'm trying to teach you, and part of my responsibility is to teach you to be dependent on the Word of God, to learn how to find the answer in the Bible. Now, don't misunderstand me. We're not saying I don't ever want... I'm not saying I don't want questions. I'm saying that we ought to learn to be ready to give an answer for ourselves, because the Bible tells us so, and because God wants us to study. That's why we have a copy of the Bible. That's why God tells us to study, to show ourselves approved, so that we can rightly divide the Word of truth. So that is another purpose and another reason for us to study doctrine. So we've mentioned tonight some of the purposes and the reasons for the doctrine. We've talked about the fact that it's a personal thing. If you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, you could study all the knowledge you want, you could gain all the knowledge you want, but if it's not personal to you in your relationship with the Lord, friend, it's not going to help you. You do realize that there's college professors all across this country that they know the ins and outs of the Bible, but they don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. And friend, I just don't believe that God's going to use that. You got to have a personal relationship with God. So God wants us to study. The Bible says study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed. The next thing I want to mention is that doctrine should also be a priority. Doctrine should also be a priority. Now, go back with me, flip back a book to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to read or start reading in verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and starting in verse 13. Paul again speaking to young Timothy, till I come, give attendance to, what's it say there, church? Reading, to exhortation, and then also to doctrine. Isn't that interesting? Look at how many times that Paul is encouraging this thing about doctrine, learning doctrine, studying the Word of God. So here he is in a different place. Tell him to give attendance to reading. So first of all, if we kind of break that down a little bit, have we read about something? Have we gotten the Word of God read? Had we tried to, and of course the exhortation, that's something else, that's just, I think, something that we ought to do, but then also to doctrine. So he said, give attendance to these things. Then verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Now, when you think about that part, it says meditate upon these things. Do you know what it means to meditate on something? All throughout the Psalms, you'll see that David talked about meditating on the Word of God, meditating on His precepts. So when we meditate on something, that means that we have really, really given it some serious thought. We have really focused on something. We have really researched it. And he's saying, meditate on these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. And then in verse 15, he continues saying, take heed unto thyself and to thy doctrine. There it is again. Continue in them, for in doing so thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. So here Paul is again emphasizing the priority of doctrine. He's saying, give attendance to it in your reading and in your doctrine, and take heed, first of all, unto yourself and to the doctrine, right? So here he's basically laying out to Timothy, you study the Bible, you study the Word of God, you study doctrine, because in doing so, you're going to actually save yourself and also them that hear thee. In other words, he's simply saying, Timothy, you better know the Word of God, because it's going to keep you safe and then also those that hear you, right? If we start getting outside of doctrine, we start hearing these things. Let me add this, church. I'm very careful when people say something like, I'm going to share with you something, now it's not in the Bible. Now I'm going to go ahead and pause you right there, okay? Because if it doesn't line up with the Bible, then I'm just not going to go ahead and believe it. All right, so don't take that personal. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I heard this prophet of God. You know, that's a whole other subject too. Let me kind of break that down to you. I'm not a prophet. I'm a preacher. I'm a Christian, first of all, saved by the grace of God. I've been called to preach the gospel, and I have been called and to be your pastor, right? But I'm not a prophet. Now, what we do when we preach and teach the Bible, or even if it's concerning, we do what's called foretelling, not foretelling. The difference is this. If I foretell, I'm giving you something that you have never heard before, something that's outside of the Bible, special revelation, which is not true. But if I'm foretelling, I'm just telling you what comes forth out of the Bible. I'm literally just expounding on what we know already to be in the Bible. So we have to be very careful when people say, well, you know, I'm going to give you something. You won't necessarily find it in the Bible. Be careful, friend. Be careful about that. I'm not a prophet. I don't believe prophets exist today. Amen? So, now that we got that out of the way, we can move on. But it is important for us to know, church, that doctrine is a priority. We want you to know why you believe, and we want you to know you believe it from the Bible, from the Word of God. The other thing that I want to spend a little bit of time on, just a few more things here this evening, is that it's important to know doctrine, and just to kind of, you know, move along where we are, where it comes from the Lord. God's the author. It's a personal thing to the Lord. If you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, you're not really be able to understand doctrine, first of all. Thirdly, God wants us to study the Bible. This should be something that we labored and make an effort to do ourselves. Number four, doctrine should be a priority. And the number five tonight, it helps us to know where we stand or where we should stand. Go with me to the book of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verses 1 through 6. 4 verses 1 through 6. The sad thing, church, that I'm about to say, unfortunately, not everybody who claims to be a Christian is a Christian. Unfortunately, not everybody who claims to be a follower of Christ is a Christian. Unfortunately, not everybody who claims to be a preacher of the Bible is a preacher of the Bible. Right here it tells us in 1 John chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. When we know doctrine, when we know what the Bible says, it helps us to try the spirits whether they are of God. Because there will not be no spirit that goes contrary to the Bible, that goes against what this book says. So he's literally telling us here to try. Do you understand what it means to try? It means like to test or to prove. Try the spirits whether they are of God. Because, watch this, many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, isn't that sad? So how do we know which ones we are? That's why we are trying to teach you doctrine, church. That's what brings us back to the whole point of what we're trying to do. Because I know the question is, well, Pastor, how would I know which one's a false prophet? That's why we're studying this, church. Because you're going to be able to try the spirits, line it up with the Word of God, and according to the Bible, that's going to tell you whether they're a false prophet or not. So the Bible's telling us to try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And that is the spirit of the Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Isn't that good? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Verse number 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So again, how do we try the spirits? By knowing the Bible, by knowing the doctrine of God. And that's what goes back to our point. I also want to give you something else on that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every, what's it say? Wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning practices. Pause right there for just a second. Notice that it says, be no more as children. Now, church, would you agree with me? And this is one of the reasons why we have to protect our kids. Are children gullible? I don't mean that in a wrong way. You know what I mean. Children are innocent. You can probably, based on the age of a child, get a child to believe just about anything you want to believe. That is why it is so serious to protect our children, to monitor the things that they hear, because they are impressionable. Now, you and I are impressionable too, whether we want to admit it or not. But children are especially impressionable. They are still being formed, if you will, into the kind of man or woman they're going to be. They are still being conditioned into the way of thinking. Their philosophy, the way that they view the world is still being done right now. So they are very gullible, they're very impressionable, and that's not meant as a disrespect. I've got 4 kids in here that exactly what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is that the Bible's telling us let's not be as children tossed to and fro. So you can get a young child to believe just about anything you want. And then if you want to change that way of thinking, you come over here and they just go back and forth. That's the nature of a young child in particular, right? They're impressionable. They can be influenced. They can be, you know, why do you think that there's certain laws that protect them? Because, you know, frankly, they're just not old enough to make certain decisions. And for the record, parents should be not just have a say, but be very involved in their education. I think we saw a little bit of a problem in that in the state of West Virginia, where they said parents don't have a say, and I think some of the mamas over there spoke up and said, yes, we do have a say. Amen. Amen. You should have a say. Now, what I'm saying is that the Bible's telling us to not be as children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now, if something is out in the elements and it is not very secure, or if it's not very solid or not very anchored down, can a wind come through and just blow that thing over? Sure it can. Can it? I mean, you had some wind damage not that long ago. Probably, I think, Brother Tuck, you had some wind damage. And we've seen that, hey, even as things age and they're not as strong as they used to be, or maybe something's not anchored right, a good wind can come in here and boy, just really toss things around. That one storm in particular, I'm not even sure how it happened, but I had water blowing through underneath my glass sliding door. I mean, it was just so much force and so much wind, it was literally blowing, and here I am trying to fix the thing in the middle of the night, and it just was a result of the wind. Wind is a powerful thing. But you see, it's interesting the way that the Bible says this here. Go back and look at the text. He's illustrating children, but then he's also saying tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of winds of doctrines out there. It seems like oftentimes what happens is this, you know, puff of wind that seems to blow through churches, and boy, it sounds good and it sounds powerful and it speaks to people's emotions, and all of a sudden everybody's into that thing. Friend, you better know what you believe or you're going to be caught up in that. If you're not solid, rooted down in the Word of God, you are going to be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Any little thing that you hear that sounds good, you're going to just go that way. That is why it is so important, friend, that we get our faith anchored down into the Word of God. That's why it is so critical for you to know, so that way you can recognize when somebody is a false prophet and preaching something that is contrary to the Bible. That's what the Bible is telling us not to be, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And then sadly, did you see what else the Scripture is saying? That by the slight wind and cunning craftiness. You know what that means? That unfortunately some of them are just good at deceiving people. I wish that I could tell you that wasn't true, but unfortunately there's some really good deceivers out there. Right? You know, I'm just going to share a thought with you, and you could take it for what it's worth. This is just me. Some of these ones that you see on TV, these TV evangelists, talk about all these, man, I'm a faith healer, and I can, you know, you come up here and I'm going to heal you. My question for them, church, is if they had that real ability, how come I've never seen him down here at the children's hospital touching kids with cancer, helping somebody out? Why don't they go down here to the cancer center and start healing? Why does it have to be a show? Why does it have to be send me your money and all these kind of things? Well, they never seem to be down there where the needs are. You know what I've come to find out is a lot of those ones that you find there, they're all about you sending your funds, but yet you have a need. I've literally seen this happen where there was a fellow who was sending in his tithes and offerings to one of those TV evangelists, and then he had a personal need in his life. So he called them up, said, hey, I've been supporting you for years and I need help. Can you help me? You know what they told him? Call your local church. He's been sending support to this TV evangelist all these years. And then when he had any legitimate need, he said, call your local church. How convenient. How convenient. All I'm saying is that there's a lot of crafty, unfortunate men and women out there. I say, because it's not just limited to men anymore. There's a lot of crafty men and women out there. So again, Pastor, how do I know which one's right? That's why we have to learn Bible doctrines. That's why we have to learn to try the spirits, whether they be of God. That's why we have to learn what the Bible says. That's why we have to study. That's why. So my statement in saying, I not saying I don't want to answer questions. I'm trying to get you to be a stronger Christian church. I'm trying to get you to be more self-reliant. If you have a child that you're raising, do you want that child to be self-reliant, or do you want them to depend on you their whole life? Now, a parent who loves their child teaches them how to live in the world. Teaches them that they have to pay bills. Teaches them that, hey, you have to get a job. You know, we're living in a day and age, nobody wants a job. There's jobs everywhere, and can't get no help anywhere. I mean, restaurants half the time are shutting down, slow service because they can't get help. You know, you got kids coming out of high school, don't want to start off by flipping hamburgers or making tacos somewhere. They want to start out at top pay. That's just not how the world works. You got to work, friend. You got to work your way up. So we as parents, do we not want to teach them? Hey, you got to start somewhere. Guess what? I started by making tacos at Taco Bell. I just happen to be really good at it. I can make a taco and burrito quicker than nobody's business. But I had to start somewhere. Now, I'm going to say this, and then you're going to say, as soon as I say this, some of you, a couple years older than me, I started at $5.15 an hour. Now, how many of y'all started off less than that at your first job? Right? Right? 25 cents an hour. I knew there'd be one. But you had to start somewhere. Am I right, friend? Did you have to start somewhere? You didn't start off making $20 an hour. I didn't. It took time. But what I'm saying is, my point, and going back to that, say, why are we doing this, Pastor? Because I am trying to teach you. I'm trying to help you. I got no problem. For the record, if my children grow up and they call their dad and they need help, they've got it. I will always be their father. They know that they always got a mom and dad to call on. But you know what I'd rather teach my children is that, hey, learn to be self-reliant, as in get a job. I'm not talking about relying on the Lord. Don't misunderstand me. You get what I'm saying. But eventually, daddy doesn't live forever. Eventually, daddy may not be there for them to call. So if I really care about my children, I'm trying to teach them how to live, how to grow, how to serve the Lord. And friend, that's our goal with you. We're trying to help you to become more self-sufficient, not as in, oh, I'm going to start my own church. That's not what we're talking about at all. We're trying to help you to learn the Bible. When you get attacked, that way when things come up, that way when you hear something, you'll be able to know how to line it up with the Word of God. These men back there, let me say this about through. In fact, I'll ask my wife or son to come. These men, when they're working back there, Robert, if you'll answer me this, when you send an installer to someone's house, before the guy comes to install, what do they do first? They have to go and what? They have to go and measure. Now, do they just kind of step it off and just say, you know, Robert, it's about, I don't know, 10 and a half feet. You know, my foot's a little long, but, you know, it's about 10 and a half feet by, I don't know, 22-ish. Is that how you operate? Would you still be in business if that's how you operate? So do you use something that's a standard that is consistent and reliable? What's it called? Tape measure. You got to use a tape measure, right? You know, one of the things, I'm not a good construction worker, but one thing I did learn is measure twice and cut once. How many fellows know what I'm talking about? Dennis, you know what I'm talking about? A couple of you guys know that. Measure twice, cut once. They're just a simple principle that you learn. Say, Pastor, what's my measuring stick? Oh, what's my measuring tape in life? It's right here. This is your measuring tape for life. This is the standard, except for this is even more reliable than that measuring tape. This doesn't have it. I've seen measuring tapes that were just a little bit off. There's no a little bit off right here in the Bible. That's why, friend, we want to encourage you and challenge you to learn the biblical doctrines. Let's all stand to our feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe tonight, friend, you'll realize the personal need that you have to be a better student of the Bible. Maybe what we need tonight is a church with a Berean spirit. The Bible tells us that the Bereans searched the Scriptures daily to see if those things were so. In other words, they were checking things out. They were making sure what they were being taught and preached was in the Word of God. They searched the Scriptures daily. Friend, you ought to search the Scriptures. You ought to study the Bible. Study to show yourself approved. This is what God desires out of us. He doesn't always want us to remain unlearned concerning the things of the Bible. He wants us to continue to grow. And for the record, you never stop learning. You never stop growing. I have not come close to exhausting the Word of God. So friend, maybe tonight God spoke to your heart about realizing your need to be a better student of the Bible and understanding the seriousness. I don't want to be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. I want to know where I stand in the Word of God. Maybe you're here tonight, friend, and God spoke to your heart about something else. You say, Pastor, I'm here tonight. And of course, we always want to give you this chance and this opportunity. Say, if I was to die today, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? Anybody at all like that here tonight? Anybody at all? Is there someone here tonight that would say, Pastor, God has challenged my heart to realize the need to study the Bible, to be a better student of the Bible. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Pray for me. Thank you. Hands going up everywhere. What a blessing. What a testimony. Pastors love to see that, friend. We want to see that you were challenged with a better desire to be a student of the Bible. Anybody else before we pray? I'm just going to pray for you. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Virtually, as far as I could tell, most every hand went up. I might have missed somebody. But as far as I could tell, most everybody lifted their hand. I'm going to pray for you, friend. It's absolutely critical that we know and learn the Bible. Father, we thank you. Lord, you've been so good to us. We thank you for the truths that we've seen in the Scriptures. Lord, we know that it's in your will for us to study, for us to be ready to give an answer. Lord, for us to be able to try the spirits. Or Lord, for us to know where we stand and not be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. And God, there's a lot of deceivers out there and a lot of false prophets. Father, I ask for your protection upon this church and this flock here at Florence Baptist Church. Lord, it's our desire to continue to see them grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, several lifted their hands tonight, said they understand the need or the urgency to be a better student of the Bible, to learn more about the Bible. Father, I pray that you'd help them. Lord, I pray that this time next week that they would be more knowledgeable about the Scriptures. That this time next year that they be, Lord, stronger Christians for your glory because of their study and desire of the Word of God. Lord, we just can't get enough of the Bible. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to meditate on it, learn it, memorize it. God, hide it in our heart. I pray that for each and everyone, especially those in particular who lifted their hands tonight. God, you presented us from the Scriptures a real need in our church today. Give us that. Help us with it. We have a desire. Help us to learn. Father, again, we thank you for each and every one that's able to be here tonight. Thank you for this church. Lord, their presence here is an encouragement to us. And Father, we're again blessed for your goodness and grace. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church. God bless you.